Well, good morning. Let me begin by just saying Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers, and I hope and pray that you have a wonderful day today with your families. We're in between series. We finished up our series on the letter to Jude last week. We're going to begin a new series next week on the book of 2 Timothy. So you might want to read up on 2 Timothy, just a very short four-chapter letter, but there's some power in that letter, some powerful passages that we need to take a look at. Today, our topic is titled, Don't Be Afraid to Die. This is an important topic, a very important topic. And so let me ask you, are you afraid of dying? Now, some of you maybe, and some of you may not be afraid of dying. I think if we don't talk about it, or we talk about it constantly, maybe that shows that we actually do fear dying. Woody Allen used to say, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Now, I've heard that quote somewhere this morning. You know, when you think about death, death is so mysterious and permanent and sometimes painful. It's counter to our instinct to live. We want to live. We don't want to die. But here's the thing. The devil enslaves people through the fear of death. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And so, the devil holds people in the fear of death. The fear of death has been the result of the health movement. Right? That's the reason that people exercise. It's why they go to the gym. It's why they eat better. It's why they take vitamins, because they want to ultimately cheat the inevitable. But that's not going to happen. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so you need to hear me for just a second. Fear of death can undermine our testimony. You see, if we are afraid to die, how can we convince people that Jesus conquered death? And he did conquer death. When Jesus rose from the dead, death died. Jesus conquered death. Now, a healthy fear of death is good. It keeps us from being reckless and foolish. It just stops reckless behavior to a certain extent, not completely. You know, you have some of these what we call extreme sports today. You know, people get in these flying suits and jump off of mountains and fly, and that's a little bit crazy to me. Or you have these rock climbers that will, you know, climb almost a straight up wall, 2,000-3,000 feet. It takes a half a day to climb up there, and they don't use any ropes or anything. I mean, one slip, one fall, and it's over. I've seen these guys ski down mountains. No, I don't mean on the slopes. I mean ski down mountains. They jump off the top of mountains. And then they, you know, drop hundreds of feet and land in snow packs and continue on. So not everybody is reckless, but there are some people that I think are reckless, and people who are involved in extreme sports, they're certainly reckless with their behavior. But here's the thing. The Bible is a book that tells us how to live, but it also tells us how to die. And that's why this message is important, because we need to know how to die. Now, you might think this is a morbid topic, but listen, we're all going to die. Unless Jesus returns, you're going to die. That's just the reality. None of us are going to escape it unless the Lord returns. So there's three things that I think are very, very important on this topic. And if you don't want to fear death or be afraid of dying, then these three things are absolutely essential. Number one, death is inevitable. Make sure you have prepared for it. Since it is in your future, it makes good sense that you prepare for it. Ted Springer, a former professional baseball umpire, once made the comment, "Life is a lot like a baseball game. It has its start and its excitement. It's lively and it's dull moments. It has a finish. Sometimes a game is called off unexpectedly because of a sudden storm. Sometimes it lasts the normal 9 innings. Sometimes it runs a little extra. But every game comes to an end," right? And so, that is true with your life. When you look at the statistics of death, they're amazing. 1 out of every 1 dies, right? So, that's a very high death rate any way that you look at it. And so the most important thing that you can do is become a Christian. Become a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, one of the reasons that I think people fear dying is they fear standing before God. Because the verse that was read says, not only is it appointed for you to die, it's also appointed for you to stand before God in judgment. And so when you die, you will stand before God. Are you ready to stand before God? That's the critical question. You see, Hebrews 9:27, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And there are other passages we could look at as well. But the Bible makes it very clear that when we die, we will, after that, face God in judgment. We will give an account of our lives to Him. And so the cure to the fear of death is obey the gospel. That's the cure of the fear of death, because if you become a Christian, you don't have to fear death, because there is resurrection in your future. There is eternal life with God in your future. And death is not a problem. You see, we fight fire with fire, and God fought death with death. That's how He defeated death, was through dying and rising again. And so when you respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was going to read that, but I'm skipping it. When you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God wipes away all of your sins. Your sins are completely atoned for. They are wiped away. They're no longer held against you. And as a consequence, there is no judgment. Romans 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And so when we become a Christian, we're no longer under the judgment of God. We're no longer under the wrath of God, because the blood of Christ has removed our sins and we are in a saved state. We have a right relationship with God, and therefore we do not have to fear death. And so, get right with God. That's the quickest way to overcome the fear of death. To not know God and to die is dangerous. And I'll just say it like that. If you do not know God, it is dangerous for you to die. But secondly, we need to read the promises of Jesus. And Jesus has given us a bunch of promises when it comes to death. You see, the fear of death affects us to a certain degree because all of us have this strong desire to live. That's what we want to do. Nobody wants to die. We want to live. Now, I realize that people get real sick and they're so sick that, yeah, they want to die because cancer has riddled their body, right? I understand that. But I'm saying, overall, nobody wants to die. Nobody wanted to get cancer in the first place, right? We want to live. And so self-preservation is very, very, very strong. And so we need to hear Jesus on the topic of dying. But listen to what Jesus said. Just several verses. And these are verses that you should know. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, to believe in Jesus will result in eternal life. That's what Jesus is telling us. And so we have a promise from Jesus, right? So God gave Jesus so that we could have eternal life. We do not have to perish. In John 4, verse 14, Jesus, speaking to the Samaritan woman, says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Again, Jesus offering the water of life, offering eternal life. In John 5, verse 21, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life," notice, "even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes." These are the words of Jesus. Let me give you a few more. John 6, verse 51. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is My flesh." And so Jesus is letting, you know, the people know that I am the bread of life and I give life unto the world. Two of my favorite verses in the Gospel of John. John 11, 25 and 26. I love these verses of Jesus. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." Right? And so when you think of the resurrection is not just an event. It is a person. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." And I believe Him. Because I read of Him in the New Testament raising people over and over and over again. And so I know that Jesus has the power to raise the dead. Here in John 11, if you remember, He stood before Lazarus' tomb. Lazarus had been in the tomb several days, and Jesus, standing there, says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had been dead for several days comes to the entrance of the tomb alive. And so, if Jesus says, "Rise," you will rise. And that's the promise, and that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let me give you two more verses. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And notice, "I have the keys of death and Hades." And so he has all authority, all power over death and Hades. So death has lost all of its power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, all of these promises were made by the one who never broke a promise. So every promise God has ever made, God has kept. God is the ultimate promise keeper. God always keeps his promises. And all of the verses that I just read, those will certainly be fulfilled. So when death comes, it's time for you to say, "I believe what I believe." And if you're a Christian, you believe in resurrection. And so when that time comes, it's time for you to state boldly that I believe in the resurrection. That I'm not afraid to die, that I'm not afraid of death, because Jesus took that fear away from me by dying and rising again. He defeated death. And he gives to us life and immortality. You use this, I remember back in Bible college, Jimmy Allen was very, very good friends with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, you know, the guy that does the marriage seminars, right? And now Jerry's first wife, Claudette, when she came down with cancer and was dying, she told Jerry, she said, "Jerry, we have done a good job teaching our children how to live." And she says, "And now I want to teach them how to die." And I think that's important. And I think that's great that she had that attitude, that she wasn't afraid to die, that she wasn't going to go kicking and screaming. But rather, she was ready to go. But number three today, keep your focus on the eternal and not the temporal. Keep your focus on the eternal and not the temporal. For example, Colossians 3 verses 1 through 3. "If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with God in Christ." You see, the Bible teaches that we are aliens and strangers in this world. This is not our home. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're just passing through. We're just strangers. We're aliens. This is not our permanent abode. We're here for a little while and then we're gone, the Bible teaches. And so it's important that we don't get too attached to this world. Don't drive the stakes too deep in this world, because many do. And so the Bible tells us a lot about death. It tells us what we can know about death. And it doesn't leave us in the dark. And that's a good thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's one of my favorite passages when it comes to death. I use this passage a lot in funerals. But listen to Paul, who, by the way, was a tent maker by trade. He says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And we also know that when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And that's a marvelous promise. And so Paul says, there's some things that we know. We know without a doubt. We know that this house is a tent. We know that a tent is a temporary dwelling. A tent is not a permanent dwelling place. It's a temporary dwelling place. And that's all that this is. It is just a temporary dwelling place for us while we're in this world. And when this tent one day is folded up, taken down, the Bible teaches very clearly that we will go into the presence of Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul says. After the judgment, we will go to heaven, the Bible teaches. Such passages as Matthew chapter 25, Revelation chapter 20. And so we know that after the judgment, we will then be welcomed into God's eternal abode we call heaven. We know that at that point, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more crying or sorrow. All of that will have passed away. And there will be a great reunion. Relationships that were interrupted by death will pick up again and continue on. That's the beautiful thing about being a believer, about being a child of God, about being a Christian. We have a tremendous hope. And so death is not something that we as believers in Jesus should fear. Do not fear death, because death has been overcome. And by the way, and I mentioned it in my class the other night, you know, you're going to live 99.99% of your life on the other side. So think about that. I mean, on this side, you're just here just a split second and you're gone. And so most of your life is going to be lived on the other side. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you should fear death. Because you will die, you will stand before God, and you will be judged. And so we've observed this morning that we should not be afraid to die. And the way we overcome that fear is, first of all, realize that death is inevitable, and so prepare for it. Secondly, we need to familiarize ourselves with the teachings of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus concerning life and immortality. And there are many verses where Jesus promises eternal life and raising us up again on the last day, whether it's John 5 or John chapter 6 or John chapter 11, or whether second or first Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And so we have all these promises that we're going to be resurrected one day. We need to latch on to those promises. We need to keep those promises at the forefront of our heart and our minds, and we need to be ready to share those with people who are afraid to die. Because people that don't read the Bible and don't understand the promises that they have, then we need to step up and we need to share the many great promises that we have in Scripture. But then number three, we saw that we need to focus on the eternal, not the temporal. And a lot of people, they just get too caught up in the temporal. They get caught up in the here and the now. They get caught up in this life and what's going on here. And I realize, you know, we have to live. We work, we parent, we raise kids. You know, there's things we have to do. That's true. But this is not our eternal abode. This is a temporary dwelling place. And so our focus should be heaven. We need to think about the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So let me ask you, are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die? And if you are, then more than likely it's because you're not a Christian. You haven't put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Because if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then there's nothing to fear. But if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have everything to fear. Because the Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in the body according to we've done, whether it's good or bad. So if you've never obeyed the gospel, this morning we're going to sing a song. And while we sing this song, it's to encourage you to respond. To respond to the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and was raised again. It's good news because the Bible says that we are dead in our sins, that we are lost. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And as long as there's sin in our life, there can be no relationship with God. Sin cuts off our relationship with God. Only the blood of Christ can wash away those sins and restore that relationship. If you need that today, we encourage you to respond. If you have any other spiritual need in your life, we encourage you to respond as well. But do that as we stand together and sing.